Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to a landmark episode of our SuperView Show's Mixed Bag Podcast, coming to you from many caves, as always. I am joined by, first and foremost, Bill Murphy. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, my man. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. Vinny Levine, our music aficionado. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, everybody?
Doing well. And tonight, this has been a long time coming to have our very first official musician on the SuperView Show's Mixed Bag, Christina Train from Nashville. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course, the pleasure's ours. We had a New York City a cappella group at one point on, but like, and that was courtesy of Bill. But having you on our podcast makes the first ever like record label industry musician signed on to our podcast, and the honor is ours. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, let's make it a thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So for those who don't know and live under a rock, Christina Train is one of the best vocalists I've heard in a long time, because the way this podcast is going to work, everyone, is that we have a little bit of a backstory that I'm going to lay into our initial conversation here with Christina here at the SuperView Show. I'm not nervous at all. Don't worry. Cause I'm like, this is a big deal for us here, but so this all came about because one of our heroes that all of us love here at the SuperView Show, Bruce Springsteen, he was on Sirius XM during COVID was hitting hard, and across the U.S., he did an episode of his podcast on his own channel on Sirius XM on East Street Radio called From My Home to Yours. Oh. His show, I think it was like something about the weekend. I forget what it was, but it featured your song, Saturdays Are the Greatest. And I said, that's a really good song. I got to check this out. And sure enough, it led me to your album, Dark Black. And now here, a couple years later, just me messaging you saying, hey, would you like to come on our podcast? And then like several years later, we now have you, Christina Train, on our podcast. And we're going to have some really good questions coming your way in a little bit. But yeah, that's the backstory, was that Bruce shared one of her songs on Sirius XM. It led me to discovering you as an artist. I was like, this is a great album. I'm sure we're going to talk about Dark Black. We're going to talk about Country Line. But this is big for us. I'm actually a little nervous here having you on. That's how I feel right now. Seriously. But yeah, so Christina Train is a one of a kind artist. So, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you for that glowing introduction. I appreciate it. I think it's funny because I sadly miss a lot of messaging on, you know, social media, and my aunt called me one day and she was like, Christina, I think you have a fan. She had, you know, like she just like figured out how to go on YouTube, and she was like, I guess, looking up my music. And then she came across your podcast, the episode where you so graciously explained why you believe people should listen to my music. And so she was like, you got to check this guy out. And then I saw your message, and then it all came together. But yeah, I'm a musician. I was born in New York City, and I spent the first 10 years of my life in New Jersey, and Jersey love. And then I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, I think my musical influences really started to kind of like expand from there. So that's a little bit about my early days. Yeah.
Cool. I didn't mean to cut you off there. So do you have anything else you want to add? I mean, you're in Nashville doing this podcast with us now, though.
Yeah, I'm in Nashville right now. Hello, greetings from Nashville, everyone.
Greetings.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, Tennessee. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, with that out of the way, we are doing this podcast live. So if you are joining us live on YouTube, feel free to enter the chat board. We have tons of questions coming up, both live and from us here as well at the SuperView Show's podcast. So if you have a question that you want to send in live to Christina Train right now, please be our guest and do so as you will. But let's kick it off with Bill. What's one question you have for our established guest here?
The question I have for our lovely guest here is, when did you get into music? I know that's a very generic question, but when did you get into music, and how long have you been singing guitar and everything else?
Well, I actually got into music. My mom took me to a mother-daughter violin lesson up in Princeton, New Jersey. They were featuring this Suzuki method, which is a way of teaching violin. And so my mom and I went together, and I was three, and I had a little tissue box with four rubber bands and a stick, and then another stick for my bow. And she somehow managed to get out of it, but I stayed on learning how to play violin. So it was since I, you know, was a very little girl that I was first exposed to music.
All right, Vinny, why don't you go next? What's one question you have for her?
Yes, yeah, so I'm trying to think. I know we all have questions. I want to make sure it doesn't overlap. So I know you were talking about how you got influenced by music at some point in your life. What were your first influences, and what other influences do you have musically?
Yep. So classical music is a big influence for me, just because it's what I heard from the beginning. And I used to, in the method that I was taught, you were encouraged to fall asleep to back with cassette tapes when they were repeater tapes that just kept winding and around and around.
I remember cassettes.
Yeah, remember, guys? Yes.
Yes, I remember. You know what? I think it's weird. Sorry to cut you guys off. That nobody under our age knows what those things are.
Oh, I know. We're the bridge. We're the bridge generation, and there are only a few of us where we've been through kind of all of the. You know, started out with the tapes, CDs.
Don't get 8-track. The worst format.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, so I would fall asleep listening to my violin pieces on the repeater tape. Mm-hmm. So it kind of really soaked in. And then I remember, like, I discovered my mom was like a big hippie back in her day, and she loved like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, and kind of more classic rock, I guess folk rock type of music.
Any Grateful Dead in there?
Yes, a ton. My dad was Grateful
Dead. Yes, I'm a dad. My dad's dead. I was raised on it too.
Yeah, major. So that, and the Beatles, and then, you know, getting into like Miles Davis and you know, Thelonious Monk, and, you know, John Coltrane, like a lot of the jazzers. And they thankfully were into some great music. And I think after classical music, it was nice to hear those things for the first time, like, you know, Rolling Stones and that kind of thing. And it just expanded from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Miles Davis, electric or non-electric Miles?
Okay. Why you have to give me the hard questions, Vinny?
I happen to know a lot. I like Miles Davis. So.
Yeah.
I personally like the later electric stuff, but he has a lot of good stuff, so it's difficult.
Yeah, for sure. I have to say that I love the electric, you know, only because I think that kind of also represents the whole ethos of who he is as a music, or as a musician. You know, he's constantly moving forward, constantly pushing boundaries. Of course, like, where he started is even unfathomable, but
it changed music. He's literally said, "I have changed my music five or six times." A White House matron in the 80s.
Yeah. So I gotta say my loyalties lie with the, you know, electric Miles.
Yeah, his 74 album Get Up With is basically one of the most important jazz albums ever, because that's like the heaviest one.
Totally. Yes. All right.
It's very hard to listen to, but it's amazing if you like it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Now we're cooking.
Yeah, I guess. All right. Over to me now, right?
Over to you.
Yes, all of a sudden. So. Aside from, you know, I guess I'm not trying to word this, and I don't want to include him because I know he's been in the news recently because he just announced a tour. But what is your relationship with Bruce? Because, I mean, I did discover your music on his SiriusXM station, and discovering him, discovering you through him. How is he? Have you talked to him at all? Or just, I'm just generally curious about what your relationship is with him as an artist.
Yeah, so I would definitely consider him to be a mentor. He has been extremely generous with his time and support to me. I appreciate it always. Would you like me to tell you how it started? Or
sure,
please.
We absolutely. All the time in the world, so you're good.
So after high school in Savannah. I moved up to New York for a bit, and then I moved to Jersey, back to Jersey for a bit in a Long Branch, in a town called Long Branch.
Yep.
In Monmouth County. And they had just built this big, massive place called Pier Village. It's like people, you live, their apartments are on top, and then on the bottom, it's like, you know, restaurants. And then there was a gym, Gold's Gym. And I'm like not a gym person at all. But for some strange reason that year, like I think it was maybe my New Year's resolution or something, I was like, I'm joining the gym. And I got like a personal trainer and I was all in, and, you know, it didn't last long, but what happened was it was very important that I did this because my personal trainer was a great guy. His name was Mike, and Bruce had just put out, I forget what album cycle it was, but he started mentioning me in his press tour when, you know, the interviewers would, journalists would ask, who are you listening to now? And he randomly said, Christina Train. So I got a bunch of alerts on my phone. And then my trainer called and was like, oh my God, the boss, I just saw the, you know, the interview, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then the very next day, which happened to be my birthday, January 17th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
Thanks, a little late, but we would say it. So.
Better late than never.
Exactly. You go, right? Yeah. We're going to ride the wave as long as possible. But so anyway, Bruce ended up going into Gold's Gym and working out that day on my birthday. And my trainer saw him and he was like, I don't know what came over me. I never do this. But I actually went up to him and I was like, you know Christina Train? And he was like, I know her music. And he was like, I trained her. She used to live here. And he was like, you kidding me? A Jersey girl right under my nose. He's like, give me your phone number. And so he called me to wish me happy birthday. And then
some.
I know. Like, so nice. Everything that you could possibly think about Bruce Springsteen that is wonderful, just add it by a couple thousand. And that's kind of the reality of how great he is. And yeah, through the years, he's just, he's been very supportive. If I have a question or if I want to tell him about new music that I've heard that I think he might like, I'll shoot him a text. And he's always like, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, we had this great discussion about another New Jersey artist when he first kind of was coming up called McGee. And it was nice to kind of share that experience with him. And then later went on to see him perform at the Stone Pony.
Great place.
We love it. Yeah. But so Bruce is really just exactly what you would assume he is, which is wonderful. Like a lot of people think don't meet your heroes, but I'm definitely here to say you can do it.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
so, it is.
Really, really quick, but if you don't mind, I only ask this because Vinny and I are. I think I mentioned this to you via our Instagram messages. There's a Facebook group that we're a part of called the Spring Nuts. It's a fan group.
Yes. But
there's like there's tribute bands, there's other musicians from other countries in there too. Like, I'm not sure if you've heard of Alexandra, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, but she's Swedish. She's a blonde haired woman. I met her too, actually, once. She played at the Danny Clinch Gallery down in New Jersey back in May of 2025. So she's really talented too. I mean, and she's sometimes she'll show up to these like serenade events. It's like where all these fans come together. I think I told you about this too, but
Yeah.
There's one Vinny and I are going later this year. It's in May. And I mentioned this to you as well. I mean, you could be like, hey, I walk in the door, be like, all right, you know Bruce, but I know Christina Train.
You guys. I actually joined the Spring Nuts.
Oh, congratulations. Welcome to
Yay.
So I too am a Spring Nut, you guys. So I'm in the club, which I feel really I'm a lot cooler about myself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be up in Jersey. I have a family wedding in Red Bank that weekend. So I'm going to try to hit that serenade.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
we will be there. So we'd love to meet up with you in person. We'll take pictures. Yeah. It'll be a wonderful time. So
yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, one of our other friends is joined too. And I think, Bill, you were invited, right?
We'll talk about that off air.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry.
I didn't mean to cut off Bill's question. Sorry. Go ahead, Bill. Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
Go ahead.
First of all, they're like huge Spring Nuts. Like, I like Bruce, but I quick funny story, then I'll get to my question.
Sure.
When JT who's a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, when I told him I'd never seen him in concert, he's like, what?
Yeah.
And you're I'm missing like, out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, next time he's on tour, I am dragging you there. And I'm like,
yes.
You know what? Not work. A bad place to be dragged to.
Yeah. And that actually happened to. Too.
And That's great. And I went with him and oh my God, that was, that guy goes on for nearly 3 hours and I enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah.
Isn't it unbelievable? Like, and just talk about like, I'm like the running up and down and back and forth and jumping and run, like, I'm like, yeah. I am tired just watching that. Like he has endless energy. He gives it his all. I've saw him for the first time. I have family in Norway and I was in Norway summer and I saw him for the first time there. And as incredible as it is, probably was for you to see him in the States, like, you know, probably close to home and close to his home. Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah.
Yes. In Jersey.
In Jersey. Yes. So you
it was
right.
At MetLife Stadium. So.
Yeah. It was at MetLife. Yeah.
In the Meadowlands.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Non-football event I've been there for.
Yeah, good. Anyway. Well, perfect. That's you know, perfect. That's how it should be, I think. But
yeah, that place is a dump anyway. Oh, don't get me started. I can go on a 4-hour rant about how much I can't stand that place. But anyway.
Oh my God. I know. And just like the trek out there is just. But
what out there?
It's not easy. The trek.
Drive out, you know,
it's terrible out there, it really is.
I agree.
We don't want to be offending people, but you know, I'm sure a lot of people would agree with us.
I agree.
Already on New Jersey's crap list, anyway, which is kind of an honor.
Yeah,
I'll anyway, take it as well, yeah, for sure.
But anyway, but, no, I'm sorry, I know you grew up in Jersey, my apologies. Anyway, yeah, my football team plays in New Jersey, so I kind of have to be nice to them, but anyway, But anyway,
you were saying about how you saw Bruce.
Yeah, but first of all, with Bruce, it's two part question. One is, how cool is it you could just like pick up your phone and like text, "Hey Bruce, how are you?"
It's cool for me. I hope it's as cool for him. But
he's like, I'm texting Christina Train.
Just texting a friend, like, "Hey Bruce, want to go grab a if you're around, want to go grab a beer?"
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, actually, he played at our arena in Nashville, Bridgestone, and he had me come out for that, so it was really great to see.
Oh, amazing!
That's
been pretty cool.
Kind of that arena.
Yeah.
And very simple question: what's your favorite Bruce song?
All right, Tougher Than the Rest.
Oh, that's a great song.
Well, that's a good one.
That's a very good one.
I can't help it. It's just I love the sound. I love all the synth sounds. I love, you know, where it takes you. I love the story, the words. It's just, I love it. Every time it comes on, I just love it.
What's your favorite? Wait, what song is that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Oh, it's
Tougher Than the Rest.
It's off of Tunnel of Love, Bill. It's a 1987 album.
Oh, okay.
Great album, too.
Real Spring Nuts. No, they're not the favorite. Yeah.
In your defense, Bill, it's like it's a little later. I think a lot of people usually go with. I mean, of course, if you're talking about favorite albums, I mean, Nebraska just to probably be one the many. But you know, there's just something about Tougher Than the Rest that I just love so deeply. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Vinny, I think we're over to you now, right?
Yes, I'm trying to think. I had a question. I'm just remember this. Of course, my favorite Bruce Springsteen album is Dark Side of the Edge of Town. That's one of those. That's one of the great, really depressing. But sometimes it's one of the great depressing albums out there. I love a good sad album. I really do.
Yeah.
My question is, getting back to that. My question is also a two-parter. One, what's the first favorite album you ever had? The first like favorite you ever had in your life.
That would be Court and Spark, Joni Mitchell.
Wow.
Good choice. I mean, that's probably my favorite of hers, too. I like that album very much.
Yeah.
Free Man in Paris is a great song.
So great. Yeah.
What was my other part of my question is, when it comes to musicians you've met in your life, what's your favorite one you've ever met? Not named Bruce Springsteen.
Not named Bruce Springsteen.
That's my question, but go ahead.
Sorry, Bill.
You guys are good. Keep going. What's up?
I would have to say the other boss in my life, Herbie Hancock, for sure.
You met him? I love Herbie Hancock.
You really? Yeah.
I mean, His fusion stuff is some of the most important stuff ever done in fusion. Like to bring the funk in about Headhunters.
Oh God, absolutely.
Don't get me started on Maiden Voyage.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, and Thrust and yeah. So
even the re-recordings were good. Like the one he did in '88, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so jealous. Got to talk to you. So talk Herbie Hancock.
He's my. I love this. You're so in. I love it.
I know my stuff. Even like, remember he had this one group I liked. I think it was in VSOP. It was like a reunion of the quintet. Miles Davis, second great one. Yeah. Both Freddie Harper in place of Miles Davis. Really good band. Recommended. They have a few live albums and one studio album called Five Stars. Five Stars is recommended. It's very good listen.
Great.
I think Herbie Hancock was in that with Wayne Shorter, Tony Williams. I'm trying to remember somebody else and. To remember the other person. I can't remember that off the top of my head. And Freddie Hubbard. So,
yeah. Well, Vinny, after we, you know, wrap up here, if you have any recs for me, recommendations, please send them.
I give those to a lot of people. So, yes, I do.
Great.
I will say he's not kidding. Like, one time I told him, hey, you know, I want to broaden my horizons. I was over his house, and he, like, literally gave me a stack of vinyls. Remember that?
You got homework.
I do. I didn't give any people pages. Literal, one of my old nurse practitioners in my old job. I gave like a 7-page list of albums to listen to. Yeah.
You would be here for a while.
She's very, very nice about it, but man.
Yeah.
Miss Hayes, hello if you hear me.
Hey, Miss Hayes. Thank you for all you do. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's great. I always love when people are generous with their musical knowledge.
I really am.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My turn now, right, guys?
It's over to you.
All right. Well, aside from asking all these questions about other artists and Bruce, what would you, out of your 5 albums, because you've released 5 albums total, what would you say is your favorite album that you've released?
My favorite album is, and it's difficult because they all are meaningful, obviously, in their own way, in their own ways, but Dark Black, for sure.
It's so good. It's so good. It got me hooked on you. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the bait. It's the bait, JT.
There we go. Yeah. No, it's just, I just want to say the album is just so like it comes across so like at first, like you look at the album cover, you're like, all right, this could be anything. Then you listen to it, it's like jazz based, it's like some roots rock, some Americana. I mean, when I first listened to it, I've actually let some of the people that I know personally listen to it, and they're like, wow, that's really good. I've never heard of it before. I'm like, well, now you have because you're listening to our podcast. Well, there you go. But we lost Vinny for a sec. I'll be back in a sec. Okay. But no, your album. I mean, your Dark Black. I have not listened to Country Line yet. But I will say though, you're back. There you go, Vinny.
But, sorry about that. Just a quick little internet issue. But I'm here.
You're good. No worries.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
There we go. But it's Dark Black though, man. When I first heard that, I added like I have a coffee house like quiet acoustic songs playlist that has like, you know, Billy Joel and like Chicago and I mean other those are bigger names, but like acoustic versions of other songs. I've added that in there. I've listened to that album so much. Dark Black is like so good, and just thank you for creating a fantastic under the radar album. And we're trying to expose you here more because Dark Black is so good. Thank you for creating that. Like, seriously.
I am so happy that it has brought you, you know, any amount of joy. That's really kind of what it's all about for me. And I do love the album because, you know, I think in my other albums, my influences have been more extracted and singular. Mm-hmm. But in Dark Black, like you mentioned, it is nice to have been able to combine them all in a way, you know, bring them all together. It's nice to be able to do that musically.
Yeah, and just as a collection of songs of Dark Black in general, just I actually had some other friends of mine listen to it as well. I'm not sure if they're listening or watching us right now, but I had our friends Kyle and Mike listen to it, and it was they're more like in the metal world, but they also like understand like Frank Sinatra, they understand other genres of music too, vast diverse genres. Actually, I played. I don't know if I shared this with you or not. I let them hear I Want to Live in LA, and they're like, there's something so like my friend, the exact wording that my friend Mike used. But he's like the way the sound, the way that's the music sounds so like not necessarily sad, but the music just sounds so like the words I want to live in LA are so up, but the music was just so like somber and just a certain feeling to it. I love that track too. It's great. I want to live in LA. Great song by Christina Train. Check it out. So, for those who don't know what we're talking about, there you go. So
yeah. We're hipping people to a lot of good stuff, you know, tonight, especially with all of your input, Vinny, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But thank you for spreading the good word too. I appreciate that.
Of course. And I'm from the top of this episode, I'm glad my video got reached out to you and you said your family member of just having like my video saying, why you should listen to Christina Train. And you're like, oh, sure enough, here we are. You on it, our podcast. So this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Bill, let's jump back over to Bill. Bill, what do you got for your next question for?
Oh, I got so many, but anyway,
too many. What do you got?
But you know, what I've noticed is, I've noticed in your, because I've listened to Saturdays for the Best, which is a really good song. I've noticed, you know, I just wanted to comment, then I have a question. I've noticed you have a little bit of like a Amy Winehouse kind of sound in your voice. I don't know if you've ever been compared to that or.
You know, yeah, I think it's a natural kind of when you sing with a certain amount of, I guess, like, you know, maybe retro soul or classic soul or, you know, kind of tipping your hat to more traditional sounding singers. Right. Which Amy certainly did in a very unique way, because in doing that, she also became Amy Winehouse and now produced so many singers who, you know, really want to emulate that and sort of really admire her, which is amazing. But I think we are, you know, we share a similar DNA. We probably were raised on a lot of the same sounds, and maybe that comes out in our voices. When I first moved to London, I actually lived right down the street from her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get to see her, or was she?
So it's actually.
Was this after she was gone?
It's actually a little bit of a sad story. I ran into a friend of mine that I grew up with in Savannah, and he was like, let's grab a pint, you know, at the pub. And I was running late, as I usually do. I was on time for this, guys, but I kind of run late a lot. And so I was running from my flat to the tube station. And as I left my flat, my apartment, I heard a bunch of police sirens and fire trucks and ambulances. And I was like, oh God, I wonder what that is. But I was, you know, I was running late. So I was getting to Camden tube station. And by the time I got up on the other side, it was all over the television that she had passed. So
it
was, yeah.
So that was the ambulance that was taking,
it was
the Winehouse.
Yeah. That was exactly. So I was like, oh God, not anything but that, but you know, that's what it was.
Yikes, that is terrifying.
So sad.
Did you have lost right down the street from her, right? You said?
Yeah, right on Camden Square. Yeah. On the same block. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So okay, another question on a lighter topic.
Yeah. we love her. We miss her. She was amazing.
Yeah, she was. What is, when you write a song, what is the songwriting process like?
That's an interesting question. It can start, because it's like, you know, sometimes it can start from many different places. Like sometimes I'll get like something in my head that will just keep repeating, you know, a little idea, a little, you know, a melody or even lyrics, and it'll just kind of go round and round and round. And then I'll get home to my instrument and I'll build it from there, you know, that initial building block. Or then maybe I'll be sitting, you know, on this couch playing, trying to play guitar. I'm not a very good guitar player. I will admit that. But you know, I enjoy playing it. So I'll be playing it. And then something will come up that sounds beautiful or interesting. And then I'll maybe think of, well, what does this sound like? If this is what the notes sound like, what are the words that fit these notes? And then that's how, you know, it will come from a melody. So the same with violin or piano if I'm playing. And but it can come from, you know, inside my head or externally from an instrument. Just depends on how it happens. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of musicians go through that phase of, like, you know, either they play the guitar or even some musicians, they just have like a melody in their head. Like they're just like, they start, I mean, I'm relating, I'm only saying this because I was listening to Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day when they put out their most recent album.
Yeah.
He actually, I mean, comparing, like, just for a second, how like the songwriting process is, he actually said to the interviewer, his drummer Trey said, and he starts dozing off. He's like, hey, he starts just zoning off, and he's like, oh, he's not zoning off. He's writing a song. He's writing a melody in his head, you know.
Yeah. So
does it happen like just piggybacking off of Bill for a second? But does it happen like that? Does it happen like you could be like in like some people say in like dreams, music comes along to them. How would you say that building off what Bill you're talking about? Like how do melodies and music come to you? Like, do they come via dream, or they come? How does it all come to you?
I think it is. I would say maybe closer to like a daydream or a trance. So like, you know, if you zone out, like you're saying, like if someone's like, "Hello, excuse me," you know, if you're staring off into space and you're just somewhere else, it kind of, in a way, comes from somewhere else. I mean, of course, you can actively write, you can diligently write, you know, yeah. I have, you know, you try to sit down every day and write, of course, and keep the muscle worked. I have a lot of friends who specifically will be like, I write every day, regardless of if something comes or it doesn't. But for me, I really, it's like a download or something. I know it sounds like silly, but it does feel a little bit from another place.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know?
Yeah.
And then especially when it happens fast, like especially if there's a song that just solidifies quickly and effortlessly, you're like, that definitely came from somewhere else, you know? Had to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. I didn't mean to steal Vinny's pick there. I mean, Vinny's like the order we're going in, but yeah, I mean, I just had to piggyback off you and Bill for a second there, but yeah, but that's because it's so fascinating how musicians, like, they'll just start daydreaming or they'll dream in at night when they're asleep and stuff. It's just very interesting to me that some people do that. So, or even humming, like they can just hum something and make a song out of it. So, but Vinny, I cut you off, my friend. Vinny,
JT. My question is, I'm not sure. Did anybody have this question I'm going to ask before I ask it? So sure. I know we've all had best and worst concerts. So, I'll give you my two, and then I would like to know your two, Christina. So my best is actually a tie between either Bruce in 2009 at the Garden, where I did Wild Innocent East Street Shuffle and Fall. I was so with my family. I was 14 in the pit. I think I show up in the bootleg video of it, like, because I went at the other end of the pit. I think the left end of the video. Yeah. Best was that, or Neil Young, I think Bridgeport.
Oh, wow.
Last year, where he basically played all the hits and it was absolutely amazing. When Neil does that, that's a rarity. It really is.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he did Sugar Mountain stuff. The worst concert I've ever seen, I'm going to be brutally honest, ZZ Top.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Without Dusty Hill, they were just, I'm not going to get into that here because I was so enraged about how bad they were. I bought a little keychain, their logo. I took that off my keys as soon as I saw them. I was so angry with how bad they were.
Uh-oh. That was
They were opening for Willie Nelson too, who was better. I've seen him like three times. I love Willie.
We saw him once, yeah, that's right.
But what are your best and worst concerts you have been to? I don't think anybody had that question, right?
No.
Perfect.
No, I didn't have that question.
Yeah. God, you know, it's hard. I think, you know, I saw David Byrne at the Ryman Auditorium here in Nashville. And he had not been playing for a while, and he came back and Benjamin Clementine opened for him, and that was also absolutely stunning. But to see David Byrne live and everything that the choreography, the set design, visually, everything, all of your senses are just kind of employed, and it was so gorgeous and well done and interesting and humbling and moving. It was just it was a wild ride, and it was so inspiring. And to be in such a beautiful venue, historic venue as well, it was just awesome. Definitely that Bruce Springsteen show in Norway, I will never forget. Especially because, you know, you're in another country, and everyone, no matter what their native tongue is just right there singing along, feeling everything, you know, whether you're fluent or not, everybody is on the same page. Everybody knows what he is talking about. Kind of like the Bad Bunny performance. Like, if you can't speak Spanish, that's fine, because you still are there. You know exactly what's happening. It was it was so incredibly moving. You know, we might not be privy to the history and nuance, but that performance was unreal.
I didn't understand a word he was saying, but I had fun.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God. You know, people were getting married. People were getting fed.
I saw that.
There were good drinks, you know.
Lady Gaga showed up.
Lady Gaga joined the party. Come on.
Yeah. Did you know that couple actually got married?
I read that. Can you believe it?
I read that too.
They invited Bad Bunny to their wedding. And he just said, you just want to come to the Super Bowl halftime show? You're
really lucky.
You've got millions of people. Congratulations.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Yeah. So he must be one of the absolutely good ones as well, you know?
Yeah.
The most talented man just made the ultimate wedding. There you go.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That's amazing. I was just at I just went to a show. D. John played a show here in Nashville that blew my mind. The great and amazing musician, and the band was incredible. And they got one of our local beloved pedal steel players, Russ Paul, to play the set with them. And it was just unbelievable. So that was cool. My worst, I'm going to go easy here. And I'm going to say, technically, maybe not a concert, but when I was younger and I moved to Georgia, one of my aunt and uncles she's an actress, and I'm sure they were terrified that I might lose any culture that I had given the proximity to New York City. So they would bring me to a Broadway show once a year for my birthday. And it was really great. I'm not necessarily like a musical kit person. I have musicals that I absolutely love, but the worst musical show involving music that I ever attended that I really did not care for one bit, and still to this day kind of creeps me out, is Cats, the musical.
I never want to see that.
Oh my God. Welcome to the I Hate Cats fan club. I'm Bill Murphy, president, vice president, treasurer, and everything else.
I'm sorry.
I love Andrew Lloyd Webber. That was a terrible idea on his end.
Oh my God. JT has heard me bash that for.
All four of us in our agreement on this one.
I can't get
rid of it.
No, because you know what it is? Okay.
Here we go.
Couple quick things. I'll make this fast. I don't want to interrupt the flow here. But the thing was, I remember the Cats musical. I remember there was this, okay, if you're younger than me, which is most people.
Same.
Yeah. In the video for Barney's Great Adventure, they had the trailer for this production of Cats in London. Right. And, you know, here I am, I'm 4 years old, just wanted to watch a video featuring my favorite singing dinosaur. I see that, and then I had nightmares.
I remember seeing that movie on VHS. I don't remember that trailer, but oh man, I'm happy on YouTube,
Vinny, go watch it.
You were spared for a reason, Vinny. Don't go back.
And then I remember that godforsaken movie that was released,
I could not even if the trailer came on the television, I had to turn the channel. I watched it.
I'm so sorry.
Bill, why?
Well, it was during COVID.
Oh, okay. Then that explains it. I got you.
I remember it was on HBO Max, not sponsored, whatever it's called. And I'm like,
It was like a bad car accident. You couldn't avert your eyes.
I'm like, do I want to do this?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's do it. And I texted my very good friend, Justin, shout out.
Hey, Justin. Yeah.
Justin, I'm about to watch Cats. Please pray for me. He goes, Bill, don't do it. You're young. You have so much to live for.
Exactly.
And then I did it. I think I made it like halfway through, and I'm like, what the ever loving was that?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then I remember that movie was basically, let's see how many careers we can ruin.
Pretty much.
And then I remember Justin texted me the next day, Bill, are you alive? And I said, no, this is Bill's ghost. They have beer.
Fair enough, Bill. I can't believe you did it.
But no. That whole musical, it's basically a musical about nothing.
It's the sign for the musicals.
Vinny, that's giving it too much credit.
Actually, Seinfeld had something, so yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's literally about nothing.
Yeah, So that goes down as my won't ever do it again. Can't ever do it again.
I wouldn't.
No. Christina, I'm sorry.
I have a friend that's really into Broadway, so I don't think Joe likes it either, so.
Yeah.
We are seeing Chess, though, which I'm very excited for.
Please tell me how that goes.
I've always wanted to see the musical. I love this One Night in Bangkok as a song, so I'm very excited.
All right, cool. All right.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good to bring it back to a positive note.
Yeah.
Again, sorry you had to be a victim of my Cat's rant.
I am a victim with you. I'm alongside you on that.
Yeah, I'm yeah.
Oh, hey, JT, have you ever seen anything resembling Cats?
Yes, we've done this podcast for 6 years, Bill. I'm pretty sure we've seen stuff about Cats.
Guys.
Yeah, I've listened to this a few times. So.
This Christmas, I'm going to get y'all a great stocking stuffer. It's a Cats t-shirt, I think you'll
okay.
Like.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm going to move somewhere.
It could be worse.
We can all join the silent resistance in our Cats shirts.
Yes.
Okay, moving right along, JT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's back over to me now, right? I'm sorry. I want to make sure we're right there. That was Vinny's question about
bring us back in.
Yes. All right, reeling it back in, guys. We're not gonna talk about Cats anymore.
Gotta reel back in.
given that our SuperView Show Instagram account and our Facebook account follows you on social media and things like that, it's kind of a two-part question, I guess you could say so. Do you have a favorite city to perform in? And if so, do you have a favorite venue to perform in that city?
Oh.
That's a good question.
I would have to say London. I love, you know, it's just such a special place. And I really love the people are very proactive about the culture and the cultural arts there, performing arts, mm-hmm. musical arts, visual arts, and film and television. And everybody's all in, you know, when they all show up to things, they're going places, they're constantly absorbing art in one form or another. And I love and admire, respect that about, you know, the British culture. So I did get a chance to play the Royal Albert Hall.
Loved that venue. They went there for the Christmas show last year.
Oh, really?
Loved it.
Yeah,
they went to see Paul. I was home watching the animals.
Somebody's
McCartney. Yep.
Somebody's got to do it.
I want to see him, but I haven't yet.
Same. I he's kind of on my bucket list, but
same here.
I've seen him.
Yeah. Oh, so lucky.
I've seen Ringo. I think twice. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Paul, but I've seen Ringo. I like Ringo. He's my favorite Beatle. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I just saw Ringo play the Ryman here in Nashville.
Well, you were at that? Lucky. I remember I've seen him twice. He's great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad to know that. So I have a friend who works with him. So we'll keep that in mind.
Right.
But Paul is just magnificent. You know, absolutely stunning and very special. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of like a big, you know, it's like a dream place, you know. But that's, I guess not, that's my answer.
It's like, for us, it's like, hey, we can, because I have a friend of mine who's like, he's a musician too. He's written like 30 or maybe 40 of his own songs. He's trying to break out too. And he's just, we're in the New York area. I mean, you could probably already tell that by now because I've told you that. But like, we're in like the New York City region, like right around Jersey and Connecticut and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep.
So I can't disclose exactly where we are. Otherwise people would find us and then be like, hey, well, you know who you are. It's never
good. Right. Don't want that.
Watch out.
Yeah, watch out. They're coming out for the Super View show, guys.
Try saying that. What's up?
Yeah. You're the Super View show. I am. How are you?
Yeah. You know what? You better be careful. People are on to you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they know who we are, JT. Thanks.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. It only took 6 years to reveal that secret. Anyways. He's written like 20 or 30 of his own songs and stuff like that too. He's just trying to break out. He's a friend of mine, but I met him through like meeting again online connections and stuff. He lives like quite an hour south of me. He's closer to the city, but it's pretty cool.
What is his name?
His name is Christian, actually, believe it or not.
All right, should we shout out Christian for the people? Go take a listen to Christian.
Yes, if anyone's looking for some unique piano playing skills, he's very talented.
Oh, nice.
He's a big guy too. His name's Christian. He does, his influences are Billy Joel, Elton John, the Chicago, the Beatles, you name it, go down the line. Van Halen, another one.
Great.
So stuff like that. Journey's a big one for him too. Bon Jovi, things of that nature. So if anyone's out there listening and knows a record company deal, please contact me at the superviewshow@gmail.com or contact Christina. Christina can contact me to get guy somewhere to sell at Madison Square Garden one day.
Yeah, we got to get Christian to the garden. Okay.
Get him to the garden.
On stage. Christina, yeah.
Featuring Christina Train on stage.
Thanks, guys. You can broadcast it live.
right on the Subaru show. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go. But that's a good question. So that's a good question about like how your dream city and dream place to play, the venue wise. That's cool. So for those who don't know, we are doing the show live. I know we've pre-recorded shows in the past couple weeks, but there's actually a question came in on the live chat, and I'm able to share with it, all of you here. Are there any artists that you would like to collaborate with, Christina?
Me?
Have you been featured at all? What do you got?
Yeah, so if I could choose anyone, I guess. Is that what the rules are? Is this question?
Whatever you want.
I really love a harp player. Her name is Brandy Younger, and she is just an exquisite musician. I just would love to that would be my dream collaboration for me. Check her out. It's gorgeous music.
Her name is, what is Brandy, what is it?
Brandy Younger.
Okay. And she plays harp, you said?
Yeah, she's a harpist. And
my sister used to play the harp.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that, JT.
We had a harp in that for several years back. We had a harp in the house.
Cool.
Just tuning in and playing it, she would sound so good. So
it's like angelic, you know?
Yeah. It really is. A harp is just you could probably tell more about it than I could, but the harp is like a really soothing instrument to hear.
Definitely. That's why I love it so much, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Chat board, if you have any other questions coming in, please let us know. We'd love to answer them. Christina would love to answer them too for you. That was Vinny's. I went too, so we're back over to now Bill, right?
Bill.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you're back over to me.
back over to you.
I was just, and I was looking at your Wikipedia page, and it says that in 2007 you performed that tribute for Sir Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Yep. Yep.
Were they there? Or?
Yeah, there were. Who puts that on? Do you know the City Winery?
Yeah,
part of it. Yes,
it's like a venue, and it started in New York. And this man, Michael Dorff, puts on these concerts that at Carnegie Hall that are, you know, fairly well known. I think they did a Bruce Springsteen tribute yeah. well, and like, you know, bringing different musicians to play the artist songs. It's lovely. It's very well done. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was for that particular performance that year where they were honoring Elton John and Bernie Taupin, and they were there, and it was really amazing.
Did you get to meet them or no?
Yes, I did.
what are they like?
Just like amazing, awesome, just, you know, regular guys who happen to also be superheroes, you know.
So, go ahead. Yeah. Do you remember what you sang for that or no?
I sang a Ballad of a Well-Known Gun off.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm glad I got that. Vinny. Yeah. Yeah, right, Vinny. I know.
Complete Connection is a good album.
I love that album. Yeah, it's really good. One of my favorites.
I love the deluxe version of it with the original Madman Across the Water version.
Oh,
Nick Ronson on guitar. Oh my God.
Yes. Vinny, you're our own personal encyclopedia. Come on. This is great.
I've had many people tell me this.
Your secret weapon. I love it. Yeah.
Yes. He's our guy. What can I say?
Yes.
If we ever get on some trivia night, he's our music guy.
I know. Yes. I know. My gosh. Listen. I'm sure we can arrange something where we can make a little, you know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Probably could. I've tried to get somewhere in that, and with knowing what I know, it just doesn't work.
Vinny, yeah, you're talking to the Christina Train. I'm pretty sure we can pull some strings.
Well, if you can, I'd love that. I want to make, because I've been told by many people, you know, there's a famous critic by the name of Eddie Trunk who I've been told to make him look like an absolute hack with how much I know.
He can.
It's not a lie. I've met people tell me this all the time. People tell me this.
Well, it's a good thing. It sounds like you're just too honest to be playing those games. So.
I really am. I'm not one to compromise my ideals.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, Vinny, over to you then.
Yes, talk to us, Vinny.
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think. What was my question? I know that, Bill, you were talking about the Elton John thing. Who else performed that, might I ask?
That night, excuse me. Gosh, I think it was... That's a very good question. And I'm really running. I honestly can't remember. I've got to do a little brush up on my history.
No worries. I just know that I do like Elton John a bit. So my dad, I think, saw him at SPAC in the 80s, 1980, loved it.
Oh,
I never got to see Elton, unfortunately. I wish I could have. But I will say, here's my question. So I'm a big fan of a lot of things. Counting Crows, of course. Mm. What's your favorite time period when music was created? Say like a certain decade, like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s onward.
Oh, man. I think my favorite would be post-2026. I think the future.
I'm excited for the future.
I wonder if we're on the cusp of something that we don't even know exists yet, you know, with like AI and everything, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like before there was jazz, we didn't even know that was possible, you know, before, you know. Yeah. Rock and roll. We had never heard those sounds before. So I'm like, what is going to be the next morphing of music? And I'm really excited.
That's
for
a good question. If you get us stagnated, so I'd like to see that.
Yeah, yeah. For a while, I've
being big of a rock guy as I am, I really want to see something like a new something come up.
Yeah, exactly. I do
a new like sensation or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, just something that, you know, sort of redefines things and moves things around. Because, yeah, I haven't really been that inspired by a lot of new music until recently. So I'm
thinking
it's coming around again. What was that last part, Christina? Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, sure. Yes, I haven't been inspired really by new music until very recently. And I think... Hopefully that's a signal that some things are really starting to come up, you know, some interesting things are starting to happen. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's yes, Bill?
No, go ahead.
Cause that's the thing. I think a lot of the acts I like are winding down. Sometimes there's some 90s acts still doing some vital stuff. Mm. I got Counting Crows, of course, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
A few others up there, but I don't know, but Really, Counting Crows, their new album Butter Miracle is amazing. So heavily recommend it, but that's besides the point. I think maybe it's going to be more of a renaissance and like, I don't know how to say it. Maybe a renaissance, like this sort of like the 90s like alternative, but not like the really grungy stuff. Because I don't think people like that anymore. I think you probably like the more stuff like Counting Crows, Gin Blossoms, Blues Traveler.
Oh, yeah.
I think that sound needs to come back. I think it definitely had potential.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to see how, you know, when trends do reveal or reinvent themselves, it comes in like a new filter through a new filter. So it sounds new in a way. So it's exciting. I'm excited about what's to come. Yeah.
JT's at your turn.
It's my turn. I just want to say, jumping on the Elton John note for a second. So my aunt, I've disclosed who this person was. Don't Veronica, don't kill me. My aunt actually worked for Howard Rose. I don't know who that guy is. Wow. Yeah, like he managed Elton John, Jimmy Buffett, Chicago. Yep. Hmm. So she's met him. So she's like Elton's like secretary for like. Can you patch me through to Howard, please? Like, it's one of those things.
Amazing. That's cool. Wow. Yeah. I love this.
There's a picture of me when I was like probably 12, I want to say, at Madison Square Garden. And I'm like right in front of the piano and there's Elton John playing. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. I didn't know.
That is cool.
It was crazy. And we got to meet the band and stuff before and after the shows and stuff. And like, we didn't meet him, but we met like his drummer, Nigel Olsen. We met his percussionist, John Mayhorn, right before the show, well before COVID too. And it was just like, it was really cool to meet them and the band and stuff. And actually, it's funny. And I think I told Bill this story at one point too. In 2019, when we saw him at the Madison Square Garden show with Elton John, who walks in the VIP lounge? We're just hanging out because my aunt's like the reason why we're there and stuff. It's the guy who walks in is Michael Stipe from REM.
Oh, God.
Another Georgia guy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That is cool.
Yeah,
he just shows up and he's like, he's standing right behind me, and I'm like, I really want to say hi. I'm just like, don't say hi to him. I don't know him. I said, okay, fine. I won't. Oh my god. So yeah, I mean, that kind of like leans into my next like question. Actually, if you don't mind, has there been like, I mean, we talked about, you touched on this a little bit before, but like, has meeting any of your heroes, quote unquote, any of your like your bigger artists that you've met, have you been like starstruck, or have you been? Have you been received by them, and how have they been received by you?
I have not felt like starstruck yet. Like I have definitely felt like I've definitely felt a depth of you know, deep respect and you know, like recognizing, you know, that I'm meeting someone who has, you know, provided something exceptional to this planet, you know, in their lifetime, touched rare earth, breathed rare air, whatever. But like, I think if I got starstruck by somebody, it would be more like, you know, like maybe if I ever met like Neil deGrasse Tyson or something, you know, I'd just be like, you know, I think I would be a little, I would feel flushed or something, you know?
Right.
Because I don't know why that is, but I'm very grateful though, because I'm just so happy that I have not made a fool of myself in front of anybody, you know, because I would definitely trip on my own words if I were starstruck. So thank God I've managed to hold it together this far, I think. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you met Bruce, you met a couple of artists too, and I mean, like meeting them must be just be like I've always wondered that too, like how does a musician react meeting to musician of different levels or different statures or the same, you know, I mean, I've always wondered how like that interaction would be between like, oh, I wonder if like, if I met him, it'd be like, but at the same time, it'd be like, I don't know how I'd react to him, like meeting him, or like, even when I first started this podcast tonight with you, with my friends, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit of like a little level of like, whoa, this is a different level. You know what I mean? Because you're in the industry, you're a professional recording artist, you're a musician, and talking to you is, I mean, in the past hour or so, it's been really comfortable because, but when I first started the show tonight, I'm like, how are we going to do this? I'm just saying, man, I'm like, how are we going to do this? Cause I'm talking to you. It's a different, it sparks a new level of like excitement, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Excitement is for sure a great way to describe it. I don't know why I don't feel a lot of the push and pull, when I meet other people. I feel kind of the same about most everyone, you know. Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't really know what that means, but I don't know. Yeah. I will let you know, though, if I ever meet like a crazy scientist or an astronaut or something like that, maybe I'll be a little freaked out. I don't know.
Or Paul McCartney.
What's that?
Or Paul McCartney.
Or Paul McCartney, yeah.
I don't know what, you know, I can't say until it happens. And from your lips to God's ears, can I please meet Paul McCartney? We'll see. We'll test.
Yeah.
Test run.
They'll be still jealous of you.
I've heard he lives in New York, so who knows? I'll have to wait and see about that. But
I have heard that, yes.
So we'll see. Anyways, back over to Bill. What other questions do you have?
Okay. Can I ask two or just one?
Whatever you want.
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. What music are you currently listening to when you're not touring?
That's a great question. I have been listening a lot to, I listened to a lot of Bob Dylan. For some reason, I just can't get off that pattern. I spend time going in and out of his music, and I'm really, really in right now. Eddie Arnold, I love a new artist called Saya Gray, a Swedish artist called Amanda Berger or Bergstrom, or I'm so sorry, I'm not, probably not getting it right. And then Cameron Winter and Geese, McGee and Dijon, and you know, and then like Kendrick Lamar, you know, some of the probably usual stuff that everybody should be listening to, I guess, or is listening to.
Drake or whatever, yeah.
I'm a really big rap person, so I don't really listen to Kendrick Lamar or Drake.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't much either.
I know very little, but.
Yeah, it's some really, really special, amazing, beautiful stuff in there. But yeah,
I remember his halftime performance last year that some people's heads were spinning at.
Yeah. That was, I loved
every. I forgot he did it last year. Actually, we forgot about that.
This year, you know what? It teaches us a very valuable lesson. Everybody will always find something to complain about.
Amen to that.
The truth, right? Yep. Not us guys. The only thing we're complaining about is cats.
We're normal. No. We hate cats.
Never again.
We get it all out of the way with one foul swoop.
Fun fact. You know what cats is?
I'm a dog person.
You know what I'm going to say, JT? Cats is the Motley Crue of musicals.
Motley Crue.
Vinny and I have get him started.
This might go on a few hours if that happens.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, Bill.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, JT, you mentioned one of your friends that are kind of into metal, and I saw this incredible documentary. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but it's called Anvil.
Yes, I have. I've seen them live.
Me too, Vinny.
I saw them in Austin, actually, in 2023. Like 50 people in the venue counting staff, but they were really good. I have a signed copy of the documentary somewhere.
Yeah, how great is that film? How great is that documentary?
Really good.
Like, just restores.
I have it. I think it's on Blu-ray. I got to watch it again. It's been a while, but they were really good. Actually, they had a good this opener, Midnight Hellion, who really were really good. This is, 2023. I saw it in Austin because Maya was out there on vacation.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Maya lived there in Austin. So, I love them. I actually auditioned to sing for the opener. After their singer left, but I didn't get it.
Oh, that's cool, though. Good for you.
I don't know how to sing metal, but I would have tried.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah.
They're very nice. Very nice guys. I remember talking to them. I talked to, I think, Lips from Andrew a little bit. Their bass player, Matt, had him sign the new album at the time. Really nice guy. So,
Lips.
I didn't meet the drummer, Rob. Mm. But, I was showing that band of Lips signed CD, but I didn't have a Sharpie on me.
Yeah.
I regret that.
Yeah, we always have it when we don't need it. And then when we need it, it's nowhere to be found.
Just like when I saw Rusty Young with Poco and I could have him sign my CD, didn't have a Sharpie. Then he died not long, like a year or two later. I never got to meet him again.
Ah, jeez.
My uncle loves Poco, so he's that country rock sort of stuff. So,
Yeah.
Very into that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Bill, did you have a second?
Yeah, question? I did. This is a fun question I ask all our guests. What's your guilty pleasure song?
Oh God. Well, see, that's the thing is am I really guilty? You know? Mm-hmm. Guilty pleasure. I mean, I would say like Cher's Believe, but I'm like, I don't feel any guilt.
I love that song too.
I love that song so much. So that I guess that would just be something that maybe people wouldn't really assume of me, but I am a huge
I'll tell you what mine is. Bye 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 NSYNC.
That's a good one.
That is a great one.
Well, I grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. So.
Yeah. Well, I do love that Mariah Carey, "You Will Always Be My Baby" or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I know that song.
That one, I love that one. What about you guys? What do you guys have any guilty pleasure songs?
I think I have one. Yes. You know, song back at one is like one, and then it's like goes to the person. Think about that, Brian McKnight. I like some of that contemporary R&B stuff. That song is very cheesy, but I love it. Okay. And also that song's like, "Into the Night, I'll Lift You Up." I think that's by some Glenn Medeiros. Nice. Sister hates that song, "Into the Night." I like it a lot. So,
okay, you got some deep cuts in there. I like it.
Yeah, I know my stuff.
Yeah. My guilty pleasure? My God.
Yes.
Oh, it sounds so cliche, but Barbie Girl. By Aqua.
Oh, JT.
Oh, it is a guilty pleasure.
Killed this question. That was those are like the best three answers I've heard.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I might have to steal one if I ever get asked that question again.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There you go.
We expect royalties. No, I'm
just kidding. Oh,
I don't.
That was a joke.
Yes, it was a good one.
All right, next.
Me. I'm trying to think of a question.
Vinny. Yes, Vinny, go ahead.
Honestly can't think of any other questions I have. I think I might have run dry on that.
Well, it's bound to happen at some point.
I'm running. Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of good questions asked. I'm trying to think. Do I have any? No, I can't really think about any.
I'm gonna check the chat board just to see if anyone jumped in here.
Yes.
Nothing right now, but other than my mother and father are watching our podcast tonight. How funny is that?
So, hello, Mom and Dad.
Mom, Dad, this is Christina Train.
No, very nice to meet you. You've got a lovely son.
Yes, thank you.
Aw.
Yes, thank you. What was the question? I'm looking at my notes here too. It's not necessarily related to music, but just like, what's your favorite, absolute favorite thing about touring in other countries?
Oh,
sort of. Yeah.
The food. I'm like, I just, I love it. I love it. I love, it's just really a great way for people to introduce themselves to you through their food. You know, you kind of, they're always, anytime you invite someone over to your house, you know, you want to give them your best. You want to show them something that you love, you know? So it's kind of like an introduction in itself. And so I find a lot out about the places I am through the things that I see and taste and smell. Mm. I just love all kinds of different food and trying anything new and, I just like getting out, I don't really like staying in my hotel room. I love getting out and getting to see as much as I possibly can.
Nice.
So I love being on the move. Yeah.
Have you just a follow-up question regarding, like, you mentioned food. Has there just because I've only been out of the country twice. I've been to Italy in 2005 and I've been to Ireland in 2012. Is there a favorite food or dish that you've had in another country after or before a gig that you just like the most memorable thing you've eaten kind of thing? Kind of a loaded question, but
I will say this. Like, so if you're playing a show, generally speaking, the venue will feed you, and they'll feed you either through catering if it's like a larger space, or they'll bring in food. They'll give you a buyout where you can buy your own food, but usually overseas they're gonna feed you through catering. And Germany and Italy, actually Poland was really great too. Italy, the food in Italy, it was summertime. It was unbelievable. You know, it was just fresh, everything, just gorgeous, gorgeous plates of fruit and cheese and, you know, antipasta. And it was so good that it's almost painful because I'm like, why, you know, you hate that you can't have it at your beck and call. Eastern Europe was fantastic, an incredible, incredible experience in all the countries I was in over there. And then Germany was also one of my favorite places. I loved Germany. I didn't really know that I wasn't expecting that for any reason, you know, but France is great. France, you're always, obviously you're getting, like, you know, the wine, the food. France is going to be great every time. Mm. I appreciate the things that I didn't see coming, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that was my two-part question. Bill, back over to you. Do you have any other questions?
God, I thought of way too many damn questions.
We over-prepared for this.
It's great. I love it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I only got two more questions left. Wow.
We did well. Yeah.
Two more. And I'm just going to shoot them all out here because we've been doing this for a while. So
go right ahead.
What is your favorite song or most meaningful song that you wrote? That's question number one.
I think, you know, I just, we had this ice storm in Nashville. I don't know. It kind of made the news because it was kind of extraordinary. It took out the city for about 2 weeks, power's out and everything. And I wrote a lot of songs. So I guess maybe it's this case where anything that's kind of new is going to be important to you because it's kind of right there. But I'm excited about the new stuff that I've written. So I think that these will kind of go down as some of my favorites, most likely, which isn't helpful because you don't know what they are. So that's not a great answer to your great question.
Well, question number two, what do you like to do when you're not touring?
When I'm not touring, it's good to have like a cycle or to try to keep it in a cycle. So like if you're not touring, then you're writing or recording. If you're not recording, then you're writing or touring and then, you know, so on and so forth. So I try to kind of keep it moving. So you don't necessarily get tired of one thing, you know, like if you're like shot out on touring, that's no good. If you're exhausted with writing, not great. And if you don't want to be in the studio, not ideal. So I try to kind of arrange it so it can happen so that I, you know, I'm not yet ready to stop when I need to stop touring so that I want to go back and do it again. But other than that, I love animals. So I'm usually in some way, shape, or form around animals, dogs, really.
I have five dogs.
Do you have any dogs or?
I had the absolute love of my life dog. He passed away in November. So I'm still a little raw from that. So I'm not ready to you know, get a new one yet, but I will. Yeah. But you know, still just living off his memory, which is really, really beautiful.
What kind of dog was it?
He was a French bulldog.
Aww.
Yeah. That I adopted him when he was a little older and he just absolutely changed my whole life. You know, he was kind of the one. So,
yeah,
we'll see. They're all amazing, but sometimes one can get you a little more. You know,
I know that feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's
a cat person.
What's that?
I'm not going to ask if you're a cat person.
Yeah. I have met some great cats, but you know, sometimes it's just a little, you know, they're so unpredictable. And
I feel like dogs are more friendly.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. You know, I, when I'm walking down the stairs, I don't want to get my ankles attacked, you know?
You don't want that.
Yeah. So you always have to be on the lookout for that. But, you know, cats are cool, you know.
Just not the musical.
Yeah.
That's another jab at it.
Right. Not the musical.
Vinny, I yield. Over to you, Vinny.
Yeah. I think I didn't have any questions. I actually had five. My family has five dogs, you know. My mom's baby one, who he was like 14, he died recently. I think it was some point this month.
Yeah.
Nippy died. It wasn't that long ago. She's still very sad. He was a good dog. That was brutal when that happened.
It's so brutal. It's the
it really is.
Thing about
I start sobbing over it, and I don't cry easily.
Yeah, same.
Something people know. It takes serious effort.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
they'll do that. They have the power to do that for sure. You know.
Yeah, I don't think I'm trying to think. I didn't think I had any other questions. Do I, Jenny? You have any other questions? I don't think I do.
I have one or two more, and then I guess we can wrap it up from there. But I mean, Bill, do you have any more at all or no?
I think I'm good.
Yeah. Right, so I'll do the final two questions I have for our amazing guest of honor here. long time coming to actually make this happen.
Yay.
Like I said from the top of the show, I said the moment Bruce played your song on his radio, I was like, that's a really good song, which led me to the album, which led me to following you and on Instagram. And now we are talking in over StreamYard, which is fantastic. So
yeah,
yes,
how that happened.
Yeah, it's the video that your relative reached out, hey, this guy did a video on you. You know,
oh, that was really funny. She said, I think you have a fan. Like, oh man, that's great. I'll take it.
There you go.
A fan.
I was like, okay.
Anything to support, like. Artistry, and I'm all for it. I'm all for supporting artistry and supporting the musician aspect of just, I'm all for it. Because what you do is what it could be Paul McCartney, it could be Bruce Springsteen, it could be you, it could be, you know, Olivia Dean, who's on the Pulse now with that song Man I Need or whatever. It could be anyone, but you guys do such a great job at creating a world in 3.5 minutes, and it's a gift to the earth. It's kind of like what you said, like creating music is a gift to the earth. And I want to say thank you for like creating music that appeals to not just like someone like me or Bill or Vinny, or just that can have a universal appeal to anyone. Mm-hmm. And that the power of musicians that I like, thank you for doing that. It means the world to us. So as fans.
Yeah. Thank you for even feeling this beautiful thing. Yeah.
You're very welcome. So the last question I have, the last two questions I should say is, First, it's kind of a two-parter. But first question is, do you tour by yourself as a headliner, or do you open up for anyone else? We'll go with that first. Are you a headlining act and like theaters and things like that? Or when you tour, are you the headliner or no?
So I do both. Sometimes I'll hop on, you know, like a larger artist will, you know, take me out and I'll open for them for a run of dates. Mm. Or I'll just headline my own, you know, venues and in like smaller venues. I can do theaters in some areas, but just not everywhere. So, you know,
because if you ever come to like the New York area, by all means, we'd love to come and see you, of course, if that's the case. So
absolutely, I can count on you guys.
Yeah, we know Christina. We'll bring a sign.
Speaking of venues, have we recommend Daryl's house in that case?
Oh yeah, Daryl's house is great. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't get us arrested.
actually, Daryl's house. I'm not going to disclose too much. It's within a very reasonable drive from where we are right now.
So, yeah,
yeah.
Daryl's house. So
very cool. A good spot. Yeah, there's a lot of great music that goes through there, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so much you wouldn't even think. Like the what are they called? The Sons of Cream are going to be there too. I don't know. Like the Jack Eric.
That's tonight or next week.
That's next week. They're going to be there.
Yeah,
It's next Wednesday night. They're actually going to be like Jack Bruce's son,
Ginger Baker's son, and I think Ginger Baker's other nephew is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're all playing like Cream's music. Yeah.
Oh. I think they have the original stuff they do too, if one I've heard. I've thought about seeing them, but I think I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Huh. It is. It's kind of like it's surprising that they're the kids of the sons of those artists are now touring. They're called the Sons of Cream, whatever. It's pretty cool.
They're very literally the sons.
Literally are. And Jack Bruce is one of my favorite bass players. So, yeah.
He cool. Great. All right.
But I
guess my last question is, before we wrap it up for the night, is thank you so much for coming to our podcast. We'd love to have you on again at some point if that's possible. I know like musician schedules are very busy, but we'd love to. Yes. My question is, when are you coming back on the Super View Show?
Anytime, you guys. I always got time for you.
Aww.
Thank you. Thank you. That means the world to me and to Bill and Vinny and yes. Well, Justin couldn't be here tonight because he had other stuff going on. But like we normally have another guy with us too that helps us out too. But That's going to do for us, guys. Thank you to Christina Train for coming on our podcast. And everybody,
thank you, Christina.
Yes, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank
you guys for your graciousness and for all your great questions. And like I said, Vinny, if you have any recs for me, send them over. And I would love to talk to you guys anytime. You're so wonderful. Yes. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And since you're going to be in New Jersey around that time, the SpringNet Serenade, me and Vinny will be down there. We'll have to try and meet up with you, of course.
Cool. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll definitely be there.
Yeah, I'm in and out of Jersey a lot, so we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Definitely. It'd be nice to actually meet you in person and
Wow,
we know Christina Train.
Yeah.
No way. It'd be so cool.
Yeah. We're old friends at this point.
Yay.
So that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks so much for watching and listening to our podcast tonight with our exclusive interview with the almighty Christina Train. You have Instagram and Facebook, of course. People can follow you on there, right?
Yep. Just come see me on the socials, and that's where I usually announce everything and keep everybody updated.
Perfect. And Bill always has to do his shameless plug for his podcast, too, that he has a sports thing going on or whatever.
Sorry, Christina. Sorry, everyone.
Go Giants.
Sports Insanity Podcast on the Sports Insanity Network. Check us out. We're on all platforms. We're probably going to be discussing this week. Men's hockey team got into the semifinals, so that's good.
All right.
We'll probably talk about the whole Tony Clark thing and our top five this week because we are now in that sluggish time of the year. So check us out. We're awesome. We promise. We're great. We go insane so you don't have to.
Yes. That's so true. And Christine, if you know any sports fans out there, just have them plug the Sports Insanity Network. So.
Yeah, come on, sports fans. Okay.
Come on, people.
Yes.
We need people to actually know we exist.
Yeah. S-I-N. Come on. Anyways. So, yeah. And, you can follow us at Sylvia the Super View Show on Instagram and Facebook. On our social media platforms. And don't forget to subscribe to us. We did the show on YouTube, but for those of you who listen to us on Spotify or Apple, subscribe to us on YouTube as well. We do plenty of other content that made this show in particular happen. So thanks so much for watching us. But for all of us here at the Super View Show, guys, please out there, stay safe, take care, and
be awesome.
Be awesome.